This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Red Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Biggs A.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Oh, we've just come to a conclusion that Homeland over hockey. That would be the takeaway from this morning thus far. But that's not everyone.
Okay.
Hey, the price of paying poker going up, well, in a lot of ways, certainly with the tickets, but we'll get to that in a second. The salary cap increase, not necessarily great news for a team like the Bears that already has enough salary cap. That means everybody armed for free agency.
Well, the caps, everybody knew the cap was going to go up, okay? And you looked at different projections of where the cap would be, and I think it's going to – and they still don't know exactly where it's going to be. The NFL teams were given a range yesterday because the league's got to finalize negotiations with the Players Association on specifically what number it lands on. It's projected now to be maybe $6 million more than people originally thought it was going to be. That's $6 million more for the Bears, $6 million more for the Packers, the Vikings, the Lions, and every other team. So when it's a league-wide thing like that, I don't think it has any impact on the Bears because everyone is getting that same increase of what it was conservatively estimated to be. Cap space has not been an issue for the Bears for quite a while, with the exception really of 2022 when they kind of reset the books and they carried a bunch of dead money this season. The cap space wasn't an issue at all a year ago. What's an issue is not having enough talented players. And just because a team has a lot of cap space, it's no guarantee that it will be filled with players in March that wind up being difference makers in September and October.
Excellent point, Brad. Good perspective. So tell me this. First of all, people learn that they have to read your mailbag because it's chock full of good information, as it was yesterday on ChicagoTribune.com. In there, you explain what might happen if the Bears have to go to Plan B. I guess that's me calling it Plan B. If Plan A is Trey Smith and he's not available for whatever reason, who are some guards that might come to mind as Plan B?
Yeah, folks seem to think it's fait accompli that the Bears are going to wind up with Trey Smith, and no one no one at all seems to have any issue at all paying a guard, an interior offensive lineman, north of $22 million a year, or roughly that it'll take. And those are conversations that need to take place, right? You know, there's a reason why some teams would be very hesitant or flat out refuse to go into that neighborhood for pay for an interior offensive lineman. Fortunately, there's a handful of them. I think, you know, naturally your plan B, okay, if you can't get that guy, well, can you get a stud in the draft? Are you comfortable with that? Would you draft a guard at number 10? Is Tyler Booker, the Alabama player, good enough to say, yeah, we can take an interior offensive lineman that high in the first round? And if you are advocating for them to sign Trey Smith, if he's available in free agency for a deal that's going to cost $22 million or more annually, then you got to be fine with drafting an interior offensive lineman in the top 10, right? Like, you can't say 10 is too high to draft a guard and still be okay with paying $22 million a year, because I think some people don't like the idea of an interior lineman that high in the draft because of positional value. Well, if you're going to place value on it at $22 million a year for a guy, then you better be willing to draft an elite one that high. Aaron Banks of the 49ers, former Notre Dame offensive lineman, he'd be an option. There's not a ton of guys.
Mekhi Becton?
That are close to that. Yeah, I mean, Becton, he was a disaster with the Jets.
Yeah.
He got fixed by the Eagles. Is he all of a sudden the player the Jets thought they were going to get years ago, or was he potentially made better by the players around him? You know, there's a handful of guys that would be suitable one-year options or short-term options if the team has, say, a high draft pick at one guard position and invests heavily at center. You know, you could plug in a guy at that other spot. Kevin Zeitler's from just up the road in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I think he's actually hoped he could land with the Bears at a couple points during his career. Spent this past season with the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. He's an older player, though. Like, you got to have an honest evaluation about a guy that's 33, 34 years old.
I understand that Kansas City needs to fix their offensive line. That's kind of their off-season priority, and they need a left tackle. They've needed a left tackle for a lot. They've cycled through left tackles for a long time, and you would think that they'd love to solve that position, which is not an easy one to do. I just don't know if I believe that they're going to still let Trey Smith. I don't care what anyone's reporting. I feel like you don't get better if you let guys that can play go. And I think Trey Smith's a good enough player that they can figure out a way to get him back in Kansas City. Am I being too hopeful that he could hit the open market, even to have a shot at overpaying him? Or do you think he could maybe be stifled from that? I think they'll reach an agreement with him. I don't know that they're going to have to tag him.
Well, I think you want to have a conversation with him. And then what's his mindset? Does he want to stay with the team that drafted and developed him and is going to be a contender for the foreseeable future with the quarterback that's in place there? Or is he interested in getting every last dollar that he possibly can?
Right.
And guys, some guys are wired that way, and there's nothing wrong with it. So what's his motivation in this? The Chiefs have got some other young players that they've got to figure out how they're going to keep them. They're probably going to need to do some – you know, math with Patrick Mahomes' contract to create a little bit more salary cap space. The when you draft and develop and you've got an elite quarterback and you win a lot of football games, these are problems that you encounter, and they're good problems to have. And, I the Chiefs might be, opposed to sinking huge money in another guard. They might feel confident in their ability in this draft to go out and get a really good player that they can then have on a very affordable rookie contract. You know, they paid Joe Tooney in free agency in a big way several years ago. I think the deal at the time averaged like $16 million a year. Might have made him the highest paid guard in the league at the time. He's going to be entering the final year of his deal. Do they extend him to lower his number? I don't see him having huge money in two interior offensive linemen, but I'm sure they're going to look for a way to potentially keep Trey Smith. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because the Bears and a host of other teams, and there's a lot of teams that are going to have ample salary cap space, guys. Like half the league is going to be at above $30 million in cap space. So there'll be competition for that guy in the market.
All right, Brad, let's talk about this 10% ticket increase coming after a season in which the Bears lost 10 straight games. In the letter to season ticket holders, Kevin Warren indicated, maybe as a way to assuage the fan base, that they would be aggressive in free agency. But it's the same team president that a year ago, I think almost exactly a year ago this month, talked about how happy he was that Justin Fields was still a Bear and would be a Bear. And that didn't go very far. So I don't know what to believe in these letters to the fan base. What do you make of the ticket increase, and how do you think that they did in terms of justifying it?
Well, they could charge anything they want because there's still demand. Right. And when fans talk about being outraged with a 10-game losing streak and their inability to win a playoff game and an extended rebuild and a reboot of the rebuild. Well, they're still buying tickets. They're still showing up at Soldier Field. In the last 20 years, there are very few instances of games I've been at where you looked at it like, wow, they are showing their disdain for the product by staying away. I can remember a game against the Redskins. It was late in the 2016 season, I think it was, where it was like a solid third of the seats were empty. But guess what? They were paid for, right?
Yeah, that's you know? Right.
And so people could be turned off, but they have a great understanding of the dynamics involving their tickets and what happens with those tickets on the secondary market. And so I think what they're doing is trying to ensure that they have a bigger piece of the action, that if tickets in this section can be resold at X number of dollars, we're going to charge closer to that. So we're taking a bigger piece of the action, and the fans have continued to support that and buy the tickets. You know, the letter was a bunch of gobbledygook and, you know, corporate. Like, if you're
yeah,
trying to appeal to your common fan who buys season tickets, I don't know that was the way to go. But they've got a captive audience. They've got people that are still shelling out money to come see them, that are consuming the product, that are spending their time on Sundays following the team. And I think they're probably pretty confident that it's not going to be an issue for them. It's bold, though, because in the past, when they came off embarrassing seasons and when they played really poorly, it would be flat, right? Or it would be a really minimal raise to the season tickets, and there would be kind of a different tone, I think, in the letter that they sent out. But they're going bold. They believe that they can get this thing going in the right direction. And if they do, people aren't going to care what they're paying for the tickets, I don't think.
I just wonder, as an experiment, just listening to what you said, how high could they go where people wouldn't pay? I mean that.
Yeah, like,
and 30%, 40%?
Yeah, someone's still going to pay. Unfortunately, they're taking advantage of that.
Yeah, that's a sliding scale based on how the team's performing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if the team is 10-7 and plays in a wild card game next year, they're going to be like, all right, yeah, the Bears are back. And, I mean, you know how fans are around here. Like, it's either they're in contention for the Super Bowl or everyone should be fired. So... If they go 10-7, they'll be a shoe-in for the Super Bowl the year after that, and people will pay a 12% increase. I don't know, but that's the NFL. It's king. They print money. That's why the valuation for these organizations is through the roof, because the media rights contracts are massive and only continue to grow.
So, Brad, among the items in your mailbag was a description of every new staff member that would maybe the assistant coaches that were added this week and maybe not announced yet. Please tell the audience and share with me how the Bears have an assistant special teams coach who has a PhD.
Oh, yeah, I don't. I mean, I haven't talked to the guy yet. But Anthony Blevins was a grad assistant. I think it was at Mississippi State, and was a grad assistant coach. And he obviously took his graduate level classes very seriously while there, and was able to get a doctorate. So they've got they've got Dr. Blevins. To help out Richard Hightower with special teams, and you would imagine that's a good thing, right?
It's impressive.
Will you call him Dr. Blevins, or will you call him Dr. Football, or maybe Dr. Special Teams?
Yeah, they don't let us talk to the assistant position coaches very regularly. And he's been around previously. I believe he was a Bill Walsh a fellowship intern for him previously, has got some experience with the New York Giants and Arizona Cardinals as well.
Impressive credentials. You don't see that very often on a coaching staff. You don't see a guy with a PhD coming to.
Yeah, I don't know that that's something you want to, like, you're using that card very often with your players, but clearly, he's going to be a sharp guy, right?
Definitely.
Well, he's going to have like a jacket with patches, and he'll have a pipe while coaching the long snapper.
With brandy.
With a snifter of brandy.
Every time I hear doctor, I'm like, this guy's going to have like a stethoscope around his
exactly.
neck. Or
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. A white lab coat, but no.
All right,
different
Brad,
kind of doctor.
So next week is the NFL Combine. I think the Bears as a staff are leaving Sunday for Indianapolis. Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles will address the media. When will we hear from them? And what does this week mean for the staff that's maybe getting together and going on a road trip for the first time?
Yeah, I think they're talking on Tuesday, but I know they've set the date and maybe even the time. I'm just keeping it one day at a time right now myself, though, Dave, before I get to that next week.
I respect that.
I am looking forward to hearing what they have to say. But, you would hope that by the time they hit the road, they've got a pretty good feel for the players that were on the roster this past season. And that's guys that are still under contract and guys that are coming out of contract, and they'll need to make decisions on here in the near future, because they haven't had a lot of time,
right?
But I think they've probably had enough time to get down to it, and those have got to be good experiences too, when you got two coaches piling in the same vehicle to make the drive down to Indianapolis for the combine. Most teams are flying. I think the Bears generally drive that trip. And so you get some bonding. Guys can get to know each other maybe a little bit. But, you know, they need to be up to speed on their own team. And you would think there's a possibility maybe they've had some early free agency conversations. Yeah. I'm talking about the coaches, you know, the personnel folks. They're going to be up to speed on that because that'll open up basically about a week after the combine wraps up.
Great stuff, Bigsy. Really fun catching up.
Thanks, Brad. Enjoy the hockey game.
What hockey game?
Thank you.
There's a game tonight.
Baseball's on, Dave.
Thanks,
come on,
Brad.
Man.
Thanks, yeah. Brad.
Come on.
Enjoy the Cubs.
Hey, Mizzou just absolutely dominated Fort Frank, Alabama last night.
Yeah, that's good.
Just blew them out of the gym.
Yep.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
See you, buddy. That's our guy, Brad Biggs, Mizzou graduate. Proud Mizzou graduate.
Proud Mizzou graduate.
Yeah. Every once in a while, the Bears would draft a guy, and Biggsy would do a dance for you. He'd be very pleased. All right. We've got a lot to get to. 312-644-6767.
Are people bothered by this ticket increase? How much are they bothered?
I mean, I'd like to know, like, at what point would you say you were bothered? If it's 10% and you don't care, would you care at 20 or 30? If you got, at what point would you say no? I think that's a really hard question to answer because people would kind of work their, the Bears, just for snorts and giggles, could raise their tickets by 50% to see who's in and who's out. Would that get to you at all? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would suggest that instead of shouting over each other, you respect each other and take turns.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's pretty funny. That was George McCaskey telling the people that were standing in a hallway trying to get a question in to respect
each other. Scolding the media?
Well,
I mean, instructing the media?
You set up an interview where you're in a hallway with a bunch of people trying to get your attention, and then you're...
He's asking for a little professional decorum.
Yes.
All right, that's fine. Here's the other thing that George McCaskey said after last season.
Yeah.
We all go back to the end of the Lions game.
Yes.
And the end of the Lions game at Soldier Field,
right,
where the Bears were beaten and the crowd had fled.
Yes.
The there Bears were crowd. More Detroit Lions fans in the stadium at the end than Bears fans.
There
were audible cheers. Go Lions, go. Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothered George McCaskey. So I think that this ticket increase did nothing to diminish that, the chances of that happening again. Because Bears fans who are able to afford these tickets and might be more inclined to unload them if the team isn't in a position to win yet. I'm not sure the Bears are. But does that make sense to complain about your fan base in December and then turn around in February and jack up your ticket prices 10%? I know it's the Ben Johnson tax, but I think it's poorly timed.
But I want to talk about that. Like, when you say it's the Ben Johnson tax, that you know, what you're saying is by virtue of having to fire a guy and pay him off, by virtue of having to fire his offensive coordinator and pay him off.
That's $15 million.
By virtue of signing a guy, the hottest name in the market, to $13 a year. All you really have done then is just hand that on to the public. You've said, listen, you know, we are inept in our hiring practices, so we had to pay $15 million to two guys, and you want a new head coach?
That's
we got you the best one, so now you have to pay more.
That's exactly how it's interpreted.
But it's
is that wrong?
Yes.
What's wrong about that?
It's wrong at every level.
What's wrong?
What's wrong is that...
How's that flawed?
If your business plan is such that you end up having to pay off a bunch of people, and I'll throw the guard in there too, how much they give that guy.
Nate Davis, too much.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, do a better job. Be more efficient. Get the bang for your buck. Hire the right people. All that stuff.
We're agreeing there.
But I mean, the idea that you can just get away with handing that on... I didn't look it up. Do we know when's the last consecutive winning seasons they had? But it's been quite some time.
I know there's winning seasons in the last 13.
Yeah, but they weren't together. You said you should have two winning seasons before you raise tickets.
I think 05 and 06.
Okay.
Maybe that's it. I'll have to go back and double check it. But my memory serves because in 2010 – they were very good. 2011, yes. I think they fell off the cliff. I'll look it up because I do think that's the criteria I use, and I don't want to be flippant about it, but I started to think, shouldn't that be some sort of minimal standard to meet before you start asking fans to reach deeper into their pockets? What they're doing is taking advantage of a fan base that is in love and passionate about their football team.
Right.
You guys are correct. 05 and 06 were the last consecutive winning seasons.
That's crazy.
20 years ago.
That's 20 years ago.
20 years ago. So you have not experienced any kind of consistency from ownership.
Positive consistency.
The consistent thing is that the Bears are bad.
Yeah. The consistent thing is everybody makes wild predictions, and then they fall flat on their face, and everybody is like, wait, what happened? You know, what happened is you should never have believed what you were being told by people that...
Don't fall for it.
Well, that's it.
Don't fall for it. So in that letter to season ticket holders, as I alluded to during Big's time, Kevin Warren implies that the Bears will be aggressive in free agency.
Yeah.
They're going to go out and they're going to do this, and they're going to go out and they're going to do that. How cynical am I? I guess it's a rhetorical question, but you can answer it. That I read that yesterday. I had a couple season ticket holder friends who sent that letter to me because they were thinking similarly. But you remember a year ago, Kevin Warren was the guy basically sounding like he was welcoming Justin Fields back into the fold.
Yes.
and gave the impression that Justin Fields was going to be the Bears quarterback moving forward, when we're all like, really?
It was at this time last year.
Did anybody tell him about this Caleb guy that they're really fixated on? But I wonder now, is this just empty rhetoric? Is it gone from lofty rhetoric to
you
empty rhetoric?
The off-season spending?
Yes.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm sure all of the lofty rhetoric is empty. I would not hold him to his word on any of it. But when you get a new regime in, there's going to be a turnover on the roster. There's going to be a fairly significant turnover on the roster. The problem, what I'd like to know is, are there any players that the general manager believes in fighting for? In other words, are there guys that he thinks are better than they've showed, and that, oh no, you got to see what this guy can do. This was a good pick. Or is he just going to go along with whatever he's told based on film study? We got to get rid of these 15 people.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be looking at their roster, and outside of the couple guys that we mentioned earlier this week, which aren't necessarily primary guys, is there going to be a lot of cutting going on?
Yeah, like, you know, Gerald Everett, you'll save $5 million for a guy who caught 8 passes.
He was a mess signing and a mess goodbye.
Mess and a goodbye.
Yeah.
Is that the way that the head coach is looking at it? Does he see anything, or does he want a certain type of player?
These are good questions.
Here's what I'd like to know. Dennis Allen, when he looks at that defense, they've got a linebacker in the middle of that defense that is making a lot of money. Now, there's no value to getting rid of him this year, but I would imagine that it is like turn your career around or bust next season.
I always question that, and I don't want to get off track here because we're talking about the season ticket increases, but I do, as it pertains to Edmonds, I do think that there's value sometimes in making a change if a player's just taking up space on your salary cap. He's a $17 million hit. It would be a lot to absorb if you cut him. At the same time, I would love to sit in a film room with Dennis Allen and have watched 17 games last year and have him tell me where Tremaine Edmonds is doing his job and when he's not, because my sense is that it was a disappointing season when you break down the tape.
I think the problem is,
so they would be better off,
that he is a guy that has a certain amount of athletic ability, which means he should be able to cover. He should be able to be a three-down linebacker. They have other linebackers that can tackle and can do things, but they don't have the kind of athletic ability that you would conclude, yeah, let's leave that guy on the field on third down instead of the guy that can run and has long arms and all that. And I know what you're saying. Just because a guy has athletic ability doesn't mean he can play. Doesn't mean that he cares about the game.
Athlete and a football player.
But if I'm looking at the skill set, if I'm a defensive coach, am I asking myself, can I teach him how to do this or that? Why did he take that false step, and can he recover from that? I wonder why that guy hasn't gotten better, given the raw talent. He was the youngest player in the league when he came in.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I'm merely saying that there is a reason that you look at guys and think he should be better.
And so
can you make him better?
Or
is there something
every coach thinks he can make him better? I think, given his salary, he'll probably stay. And I don't want to pick on him alone.
No, I'm not.
But he represents the kind of guy that you look at as a potential, if we needed the room under the salary cap, he might be a casualty. But you know what? Yesterday said they don't need the room. So these salary cap cuts are going to be things that used to happen.
But I still think you should make them out of what exactly you're saying, which is, if there are people that are taking up space that aren't getting the job done, who cares if you owe them money?
Sometimes you want to make an example too. So you make these kind of decisions. You don't have to be in a tight salary cap position, because yesterday we heard the league was increasing the salary cap for every team, which benefits the Bears, benefits everybody else. The business of football is thriving.
Yes.
And in that context, I think it makes the ticket increase all the more galling. because it is a 10% increase that followed an 8% increase for a team that has lost, oh, I don't know, what, 34 games? How many games have they lost since Ryan Poles took over?
Yeah.
It's not going
well. You know, when you get to this time of year, David, you start wondering why the guy is still operating in the way he's operating or having the position that he had. He needs to make some kind of move here that makes you impressed. Let's try Mike. Mike's in Palatine. Hey, Mike.
Wait, I don't understand. Where's your logic in them not raising prices because they're terrible?
Excuse me? Rephrase the question.
You're saying that the value of what they can get is more important than what the product is.
It's supply and demand. They shouldn't raise the prices because the product's lousy. Then don't buy the tickets. You're not making any sense.
Okay. Well, that's your opinion. That doesn't make any sense. I would think that if you aren't putting out a product that is satisfactory to the fan base, that it would be a good faith gesture. It wouldn't be a smart business move.
Right.
I'm not saying that they would be profiting from doing that. They would be taking a hit, significant hit.
But he's right. If no one cancels their tickets, then what's the problem? Like I said, I think they could make it 30%, 40%. People still buy the tickets because they're hard to get and it's a difficult.
We're not here to serve the business interests of the Chicago Bears.
But
we're not here to tell them how to make more money. We're here to represent the fan base, and the fan base is fed up. So there may not be any logic attached to the fact that this doesn't make any sense. But you know what? It doesn't make any sense.
What Big said, what the secondary market can demand for Bears tickets is what they should cost. That's kind of what Bigsy was saying. They look at it, and they know that people are selling their tickets perhaps for profit, so why shouldn't they just get involved in it and do it that way? I understand, believe me, as a competitor, you should not be overcharging people for a product that is subpar. But the caller is correct. As a business person, you're
the caller
to
is correct. I have no logic.
No. I'm saying he's right that demand should control the market.
That's always going to be the argument. But that's like such a – it's just you're looking at numbers on a page then. And I guess that's their obligation to do that as you run a successful business. My point is, okay, if it's a meatball thought, if it's illogical, fine. But you know what? If you stink as badly as the Bears have stunk, you've got some gall to raise ticket prices 10% a year after you raise them 8%, and you haven't had a winning season since 2018.
And by the way, you need a couple billion from the public so you can build a stadium.
Yeah, fine. I'll be that illogical guy. Fine. Yeah. You go ahead. Raise it. Jack them up another 15%. Bears fans would pay more than that.
They'd pay double.
Does that make it right to take advantage of that? Okay.
That's what I'm asking.
That's logical.
Where would you draw the line?
Let's just talk about logical things the rest of the day.
Oh, okay, Dr. Spock. Live long and prosper. Jeff is on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Let's get off the logical right now because we're going to do a quick test with David and about his American patriotism. Quick answers, David. Poutine or French fries?
You're loading up on a guy. He's had enough of it.
Thanks for calling, Jeff. Talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, let's know if that's very funny.
Love the morning.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Ben has an absolute vision. And now you'll have to ask him in detail what that means. But he has an exact vision of how to build this team, what skill set he's looking for, what personality he's looking for. And I'm not sure the Bears have had that in a while, that kind of clear vision. And Ben is so smart and has that vision. And that's all they ever needed. They needed a clear vision. And now they've got it. And when you get that vision, your job gets a lot easier. Now it's just go finding those players. And they will not have any interference whatsoever from the president, from the ownership. They'll be advised, of course, but they will not say no at all. That's what these guys want.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That is Rick Smith, the agent for Ben Johnson, telling you that Ben has a vision and that he knows what kind of players he needs and what they look like, and he's going to be able to go out and get them because they're in partnership, basically.
That's what they're doing now. Yeah. They're meeting at Hallis Hall. They're introducing each other to the new staff members. They're talking theoretically, philosophically about what type of player it is they're looking for,
mm-hmm.
whether it's at the NFL Combine next week in Indianapolis, which they will leave, I believe, as a staff on Sunday to go down there for the week, or it's in free agency, which is about a month away. But all those kinds of things are important for a new staff under Ben Johnson to understand what type of traits they value and how they fit into the bigger picture of how the sitting regime, if you will, Ryan Poles and his staff, where they come together, where they mesh and where they don't. And I think that's the kind of those are the kind of conversations they're having right now during meetings at Hallis Hall.
Yeah, look, I like the idea that there's someone with a plan and someone who knows what they're looking at. It is outside the requirement of the job, I would say. In other words, they're supposed to have a guy in place with a vision. They're supposed to have a group that knows how to put a team together. Now they got a guy who's supposed to be this great offensive mind who can run a team, but meanwhile he's going to have to also share a vision of what that team should look like.
Yeah, what's his priority? Because we are assuming that he's going to go into this draft and the Bears are going to prioritize the offensive line because they gave up 68 sacks and it's the biggest weakness on this team. What if there is a edge rusher that Ben Johnson covets, or there's something about we just don't know.
No, if it's an edge rusher, I'm not going to argue with it, David, because I'm talking about the trenches. That's mm-hmm. where the weakness of the team is, as far as I can tell. Or when you compare winning teams to a team like the Bears, they're losing it on the line of scrimmage. What if he comes in and he wants a running back in the top 10? What if he says, then I need a receiver and a tight end? What if they ignore the line of scrimmage? This won't happen because the guy's too smart.
We don't know if it won't happen.
But what if the priorities are
asking the question? You just don't know.
The skill position.
You're right. Well, it could be with a guy who likes to see his plays work as often as they have. You wonder about that. I also wonder about, okay, getting back to the trenches argument, what we're talking about. We talk a lot about Trey Smith and that you got people who were sleuthing on the internet and social media connecting his relationships and why he may like Chicago because of his girlfriend that may be working here, whatever the case is. And you know what? We have no guarantee that the Bears feel the same way about targeting him or fixating on that player. What if the center from the Falcons is a guy they believe that Drew Dalman is more worth their time, effort, and they think they can land him. So they're going to start and target him. What if he comes first? Because Ben Johnson believes the center is the most important position on an offensive line, and you've got to start there. We don't know. And what if you use up all your money there? And the priorities are something we talk about. That's why we exist, to debate those things. But we don't have a clear idea of what Ben Johnson will prioritize heading into this offseason.
Well, we know what we'd prioritize.
Yeah.
We know the reason that the things have not gone according to Hoyle, but that doesn't mean he shares that view. It Mm-mm. doesn't mean he might think that if you have this particular player, the rest of it can be managed and can be okay. I hope not, but you're absolutely right. We do not know what the vision is. They haven't shared the vision. We'll see. When free agency starts, we'll see. All right, we've got a lot of fun left for you. We're going to bring in our guy, Edzo. Eddie Olczyk will join us next. We'll get a chance to talk about
the
big game tonight, which should be a lot of fun. And we'll get Eddie's thoughts on that next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.